going to be reading chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 4. So if you have a Bible, if you have a device, I invite you to open or click to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 4. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. Their strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen ramps, they capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people, whose own strength is their God. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet so that he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. How ought we to live? It's a pressing question, especially for those of us who are Christians. How ought we to live? How ought we to live in a world in which we feel the reign of wickedness, where the vulnerable are ignored or exploited, where human life is disposable, where human bodies are mere commodities, and where human dignity depends on social media likes or views. How ought we to live? How ought we to live amid the uncertainties and the harsh realities of life? Amid a future that lies outside of our control? Amid the death of loved ones and friends? Amid unemployment, loneliness, isolation? How ought we to live? And how ought we to live in the seemingly mundane activities of everyday life? At home, at school, at work, with loved ones, with acquaintances? How ought we to live? How? How do you live in these sorts of scenarios? Habakkuk tells us how we ought to live. In fact, the prophet provides us with a model of how we ought to live in a world plagued by injustice and wickedness on the verge of destruction. How ought we to live? Through Habakkuk the prophet, the Lord calls his people to live a life of faithful endurance, to live a life of patient perseverance. That's how we ought to live. We're not called to hide. We're not called to hunker down. In the face of injustice and violence and wickedness and judgment, the Lord calls his people to faithful endurance, to patient perseverance through the mess, not to escape from the mess. Through Habakkuk, the Lord calls his people to a life of patient perseverance. And the Lord shows us what a life of patient perseverance looks like. Habakkuk models a life of patient perseverance. And this life of patient perseverance is not passive. Far from it. This life of patient perseverance is active. It's a pursuit. It's an active pursuit of God and a humble submission to his purposes, no matter how perplexing they might be. This is what we hear, and this is what we see in the book of Habakkuk. We hear the answer to the question, how ought we to live? We hear the call to patient perseverance. And we see a model of patient perseverance. We see what patient perseverance looks like. So let's listen to this call and look at this model. First, through the call to patient perseverance. We hear the call to patient perseverance in Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 4, that last verse from our reading, where the Lord declares, "See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness." This is it. This is how we ought to live. The righteous person is called to live by his faithfulness, by her faithfulness. Seems pretty straightforward. But when we consider the circumstances in which Habakkuk finds himself, we discover that this call to patient perseverance is quite striking. Habakkuk does not like what he sees. In the opening verses of chapter 1, the prophet laments and complains to the Lord about the rampant violence, injustice, and wickedness among his own people. Look at verses 2 to 4 of chapter 1. "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, 'Violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Habakkuk cannot bear to look at the violence and injustice among God's people any longer. And so the Lord responds to the prophet's complaint by calling him to look at something else. In chapter 1, verses 5 to 11, "Look at the nations and watch," the Lord says. "Have a look and be utterly amazed at what I'm about to do. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians to punish my people for their violence, their injustice, and their wickedness." The Lord graciously responds to Habakkuk's complaint. But it's not the response that Habakkuk is looking for. The Lord is right. Habakkuk is astounded at what the Lord is about to do. You see, the Lord is not going to call someone from among his people to sort this out. He's not going to call his king to punish the wicked and to establish justice and righteousness. He's not even going to call Habakkuk to warn the people of the coming judgment so that they, like the Ninevites, might turn from their violence and repent. No, the Lord is going to use the Babylonians, a foreign enemy, to punish his people for their sin. And make no mistake about it, the Lord knows the nature of the instrument that he is using. He has the Babylonians' resume in hand. Listen to the way that the Lord describes the Babylonians in chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. They are ruthless. They are a law to themselves. They promote their own honor. They're intent on violence. They mock kings, scoff at rulers, laugh at all fortified cities. And they are a guilty people whose own strength is their God. What the Lord is about to do is shocking. It's confusing. The Lord is going to use the violence of the Babylonians to judge the violence of his own people. And the Lord is going to use the wicked Babylonians to judge his own wicked people. Habakkuk is perplexed. He's confused. And the prophet does what we tend to do when we're perplexed, when we are confused, when we don't understand God's purposes, when we're dumbfounded at God's answer to our prayers. The prophet asks that simple yet powerful question. Why? Why, Lord? Why are you doing this? How can you let this happen? Habakkuk asks why. It's a reasonable question. Or better, it's a faithful question. And in his astonishing grace, the Lord answers Habakkuk. But the Lord does not answer Habakkuk's question. The Lord does not give Habakkuk some sort of a theological explanation for why he's using the wicked Babylonians to judge his people. The Lord does not justify his actions or his purposes. Habakkuk asks why. And the Lord responds by gently saying, "Wrong question." The question is not, "Why? Lord, why are you raising up the Babylonians to judge your people?" The question is, "How? Lord, how ought we to live? How ought we to live in the light of your purposes?" And the Lord answers this question in chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The righteous will live by her faithfulness. This is the answer to the question, how ought we to live? This is the call to patient perseverance. According to chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous person is the opposite of the enemy, the opposite of the one who is proud and puffed up, the opposite of the one whose desires and appetites are twisted and perverted. The righteous person is the friend of God, the one who has been made righteous, not by anything that that righteous person has done, but by God's undeserved grace alone. And so it is the righteous person that is humble, a person that knows they are utterly dependent on God for all things. And the righteous person is one who desires what God desires, loves what he loves, and hates what he hates. You see, the righteous person does not require a satisfying explanation for why the Lord does what the Lord does. The righteous person humbly trusts the Lord. The righteous person lives as a dependent creature on the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. The righteous person faithfully endures, patiently perseveres, even in the absence of answers. That is, the righteous person lives by his faithfulness, lives by her faithfulness. The righteous person keeps the faith, keeps on keeping on. The righteous person pursues and clings to the Lord no matter what, no matter the circumstances. Of course, many don't live like the righteous. Many, perhaps even us, when we're confused, demand answers. Many live as if God owes them an explanation for all of the perplexing circumstances of life. Many refuse to live in humble submission to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Instead, they live a life that resembles Jeremiah's parable of the potter's house. They, the clay, live their lives asking the Lord, the potter, "What are you doing? Answer me." Not the righteous. The righteous patiently persevere. Keep on keeping on. Keep the faith in humble submission to their gracious God. This is the Lord's call to us. The Lord calls us to faithful endurance, to patient perseverance. This is how we ought to live. It's not surprising, for this is how the Lord Jesus lived. He lived a life of patient, faithful perseverance. The call to patient perseverance and the patient perseverance of Jesus is captured in those opening verses in Hebrews chapter 12, where we read, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured. He endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider him, consider Jesus, the righteous one who endured, who patiently persevered the cross, its shame, and opposition from sinners. Consider him, consider Jesus, the righteous one who patiently persevered through judgment, through suffering. That is how we ought to live. A life that reflects the life of our Savior, a life of patient perseverance. This is the call of the book of Habakkuk. It's a call that is modeled by the Lord Jesus. And it's a call that's modeled by the prophet Habakkuk himself. How does Habakkuk model patient perseverance? What does it look like? Well, according to Habakkuk, patient perseverance is marked by the pursuit of God. It's not passive. It's active. And Habakkuk models two ways in which the righteous person perseveres in pursuit of God. The first is through lament or complaint. Habakkuk's complaints across chapter 1 model how we ought to live, how we ought to patiently persevere in pursuit of God. In the opening verses of chapter 1, Habakkuk laments over the sin of God's people. He sets himself against God's people, against his own people. He names their violence and their injustice. He calls out their wickedness and their perversion. He asks the Lord to do something about it. And after the Lord reveals that he will do something about it, that he will raise up the Babylonians to punish his people, Habakkuk then delivers another barrage of complaints. He asks, why? Why, Lord? Why are you raising up the Babylonians to punish your people? Lament marks a life of patient perseverance. Because genuine lament, like the character of the righteous, desires what God desires, loves what God loves, and hates what he hates. Habakkuk is not engaging in that old British art of moaning. He's not having a whinge here. He's complaining to the Lord. He's actively entrusting these complaints to God's sovereign and providential care. Habakkuk trusts the Lord with these complaints. And he trusts the Lord with these complaints because they're rooted in what Habakkuk knows about the Lord. Habakkuk knows the Lord is just and righteous. Habakkuk knows the Lord is eternal, from everlasting, as he says in chapter 1, verse 12, "My God, my Holy One, my rock, the one who appoints instruments of judgment and judges wickedness." And it's because Habakkuk knows these things about the Lord that he can call sin what it is. He can call on the righteous judge to intervene. And he can ask the Holy One, "Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Why do you tolerate the treacherous Babylonians?" The life of the righteous, the life of patient perseverance, is marked by lament. Because lament is an act of faithfulness to God. Lament is an act of keeping the faith. Lament keeps us faithful. It's an act of communion with God that's fueled by a knowledge of who God is. It's a faithful act that is so moved by God's holiness, by God's justice, by God's righteousness, that it demands that God show himself to be just that. Be holy, Be righteous. Be just. Prove it. And it's a faithful act that trusts God with our complaints, that makes our problems God's problems, and allows God to act in the manner that he sees fit. That's living by faithfulness. That's patient perseverance in pursuit of God. And that's what Habakkuk models. I'm not going to ask you to diagnose the nature of your prayer life, but I do wonder, how is your life of lament? Grumbling and complaining may be a long-standing British pastime. They have no place in the Christian life. But lament does. As a Christian, how often do you lament? In the light of the violence, the injustice, the wickedness that permeates our news outlets and our everyday lives, are you moved to turn them into lament to God, to plead with God to act? Do you trust him with it? To withhold it seems to suggest that you don't. But God is trustworthy, and lament is a fundamental part of the Christian life. It's one of the ways in which we ought to live in patient perseverance. But that's not all. In addition to lament, Habakkuk teaches us that patient perseverance in pursuit of God moves to praise. And this is the second way in which the righteous person patiently perseveres. The righteous persevere through praise. Now, this praise is not hollow. It's not superficial. And more importantly, this praise is not based on personal circumstances. You see, following the Lord's declaration that the righteous person will live by his or her faithfulness, the remainder of Habakkuk chapter 2 contains a number of pronouncements in which the Lord promises to judge the Babylonians. The Lord will use the Babylonians to judge his own people. And as the holy and righteous judge, the Lord will also judge the Babylonians for their wickedness. This certain promise of judgment on Babylon moves Habakkuk to pray in chapter 3. Habakkuk asks the Lord to repeat his glorious deeds in his own day. And he pleads with the Lord, in wrath, in your judgment, remember mercy. The prophet recites a prayer in chapter 3 that recounts the Lord coming in judgment. The language and the imagery of this prayer recall the Exodus from Egypt. God is portrayed as a warrior who judges the peoples. In the Exodus, of course, the Lord came to judge the Egyptians and to redeem his people. In Habakkuk's prayer, the Lord comes as a warrior to judge the Babylonians, but also to judge his own people. In a certain sense, nothing's changed since Habakkuk chapter 1, where the Lord declared that he was raising up the Babylonians to judge his people. But in another sense, everything has changed. Habakkuk acknowledges and humbly submits to God's judgment. And this submission to God's purposes allows the prophet to move from lament to praise. Despite the Lord's just judgment, Habakkuk will rejoice. Listen to the closing verses of the book, chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Where Habakkuk prays, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, all the covenant curses have come, no fruitfulness, barren land, judgment. Despite all of that, verse 18, Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Despite the devastating circumstances, Habakkuk rejoices in God, his Savior. His circumstances do not dictate his rejoicing. Rather, the character of God motivates Habakkuk's rejoicing. In the face of unavoidable judgment, Habakkuk rejoices. He rejoices in God, his Savior, in the reality that God will save. And he humbly accepts that God does not save his people out of judgment. He rejoices in the reality that God will save his people through judgment. And that reality moves the prophet to praise. And it ought to move us to rejoice. For those of us who trust in the Lord Jesus, we can praise God our Savior despite the circumstances. We can rejoice in our salvation, a salvation that Jesus enacted through judgment. Our salvation from the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, is not a salvation out of judgment, but a salvation that is achieved through judgment, through the Father's judgment on the Spirit-filled Son at Calvary's cross. That is a cause for rejoicing, for praise, irrespective of the circumstances, and despite the appearances that wickedness reigns. This is what patient perseverance looks like. It laments. But lament is never the last word in the life of the righteous person who lives by his or her faithfulness, who keeps the faith. For those who patiently persevere, lament is transformed into rejoicing, just as the lament of Habakkuk in chapter 1 is transformed into rejoicing in chapter 3. What does patient perseverance look like? It's marked by lament and praise. A life where the righteous person keeps the faith and lives by his or her faithfulness, despite the circumstances, and in the absence of satisfying answers. Through the prophet Habakkuk, the Lord calls us to faithful endurance, to patient perseverance. Friends, this is the life of faith. It's a form of life modeled by Habakkuk. It's a form of life manifested in the Lord Jesus, who patiently persevered the cross, its shame, and opposition from sinners. And it is the life that we are called to live in the here and now. We see this so clearly in the book of Revelation. We're across the book of Revelation. The people of God, those who follow the Lamb, are called to live in patient perseverance and faithfulness. According to the Apostle John, the people of God live in Babylon. Friends, we live in Babylon, in a world, in a city, destined for judgment. And as we await the fall of Babylon, as we await that shout from Revelation chapter 18, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great," we are called to endure. We are called to patiently persevere. For the one who patiently perseveres to the end will receive the crown of life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, in your Son and by your Spirit, would you enable us this day? Would you enable us this week would you enable us in all of the days that you give to us to faithfully, patiently persevere in pursuit of you for your glory in Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's respond to God's word by standing and singing, "I Will Wait."